killer may have gotten the cyanide into the capsules. The question for prosecutors, was Lewis just an extortionist, or was he the Tylenol killer?
We moved heaven and earth to determine which of those two possibilities it was.
And what was your determination?
I've never publicly described what my view was. All I can say is, as of now, no one has been prosecuted for the Tylenol killing.
In 2009, authorities raided Lewis's Massachusetts home, carting away boxes of evidence and a computer. The following year, he and his wife were required to give DNA samples, but there was no visible movement in the case. Lewis did not respond to our request for an interview, but back when he was in prison for the extortion case, he always denied involvement in the actual killings.
They're barking up the wrong tree, and as long as they continue to do this, it absolutely guarantees that they will never solve the Tylenol homicides.
Again, Lewis was only charged with the extortion of Johnson & Johnson. So, where are we now? Well, first, it's important that you know that there is a current Tylenol investigation.
My name is Joe Murphy. I'm a detective with the Arlington Heights Police Department. This is an active investigation. It's an active homicide investigation that involves many municipalities and other government agencies. We still receive tips that are being evaluated and investigated. We also are still, we're looking at emerging forensic technology.
You've kept everything?
Yes. Yes, we still have all the evidence.
Pills, bottles, boxes?
Correct. So there's contaminated pills, untainted pills, bottles, boxes, like you mentioned, the cotton balls inside.
Following hundreds of officers who worked this case in decades past, Murphy says he hopes new technology, especially new advances in DNA, might lead to a breakthrough, or that someone who wants to clear their conscience might come forward.
There's always a chance that somebody's told somebody something, and for the past 38 years, they've been afraid to come forward. But now, 40 years later, approaching 40 years later, now might be the time.
That would mean a potential solution to one of Chicago's most enduring mysteries, which began with a very public, very frightening warning.
When they asked me, you know, you realize you've got the people out there panicked, and I said, well, in this case, panic is probably an appropriate response so that they realize that if they take this medicine, they're going to die.
An important message from the makers of Tylenol. You are all aware of recent tragic events.
Tylenol itself would bounce back in a big way. After seeing its star product pulled from the shelves in the aftermath of the murders, parent company Johnson & Johnson reacted quickly, reintroducing Tylenol 2 months later in triple-sealed containers, and quickly regaining market share as the number one over-the-counter pain reliever in the United States.
We value that trust too much to let any individual tamper with it. We want you to continue to trust Tylenol.
But the murders themselves remain a mystery. Even today, those who were a part of Chicagoland's biggest investigation say a solution is important for one very simple reason.
You believe there is still information that could make this a solvable case?
Yes. And some peace and some comfort after all these decades will be brought to the families of those victims. I truly do believe it's possible, and I really do hope for that day.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Corey Little Lab Podcast Show.
When up is down and a down is up, when your half a glass looks like a half a cup, when you're running into dead ends and everywhere you turn, well, seize the opportunity, live and learn.
Welcome, everyone. You are seeing and listening to some of the dark things that happened in Chicago. And what I'm watching on cable on the Roku channel, and they were talking about the Tylenol killing. Y'all remember that back in the 80s, right? People, it was two couples was going around putting Tylenol in the bottle. And all. So that's what you were hearing when the show first started. Alright. And coming from the TV and everything, the audio probably was a little off and all. But yeah. And also, the day the L fell. Remember that day in Chicago? The day the L fell? That's what I was watching too. I'm learning a lot of history from Chicago, you know, and I'm just blown away about it, you know. Some of this stuff happened before I was a kid. I think the day the L fell, I think it was 1976, something like that. Anybody remember that? Or anybody living in Chicago remember the day the L fell? Also, I was looking at some of the police officers. And crime. They were sitting there talking about police crime and all. And some detectives. Well, in Chicago, they got shot fire. Remember? Shot fire. But now, some of the guys who used to be top cops. I would say just say top cops. They say they got rid of shot fire in Chicago. And they say it was working. Now, shot fire is something that they prevented, and whatever shot fire happened, anybody shoot a gun, the sound, the police will know where the shot came from, and they can get to the scene right there, investigate, where that gun came from. You know, and that's exactly what they need in all these cities. They need the shot fire program. And I think they got rid of it because they talked about it cost too much. But look at all the stuff that they putting in space. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm a astronaut astronomer's freak. I love learning about astronomy and all and everything. But look at that new thing that they put in space. Over $50 billion just to look at three galaxies that they thought wasn't there. Get my point? Or SpaceX, or the money they spending on going back to the moon or going to Mars. Over $50 billion. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love space. I love NASA. I love SpaceX and all what they doing and everything. But reality is reality. And I love Star Wars and Star Trek, you know. But reality is reality, you know. Don't get me wrong, Star Trek and Star Wars fans. I'm not hitting on science fiction movies and stuff like that. Or we shouldn't go to the back to the moon and stuff like that. No. Because I'm a big astronaut astronomy fan. I love learning about the planets and all. And I think that make you really, really talented and smart. Half of the people in school don't even know how far the moon is now. I learned all about that stuff in school. How long it takes for the moon to go around the Earth and the Sun. And how long it takes on Jupiter for the planet to go around the Sun. How many days on Jupiter? How many days on Jupiter? How many storms on Jupiter? That's why I wanted to be a writer. I was always at the library reading and learning about the planets. You know? But I got accused of cheating and all that stuff when I was living with that woman's parents and all. I even bought back books. I checked out from the library and told them this is what I was. You know, I wasn't out there. You know, but reality, like I said, reality is reality. You know, it wasn't until I wanted to get out the marriage until I started going down the strip clubs because I wanted to get out the marriage. You know, and I didn't care if I got caught coming out one of those strip clubs because she going to divorce me. Or I'm going to divorce her. I'm just, you know, and it did happen, you know. So, I mean, it was better ways to do things, guys. I know. But the faster way is just to get caught in the action, you know. And just take the blame like a man, you know. Take your chest out, put your head up, and take the blame and handle what you done. And that's what I did. And guess what? I'm free as a bird. No headaches. No problems. Just a little problems. But that was after the marriage, you know. Went to the doctor and my legs are still swelling and stuff. But we're going to go make sure that I don't have no cancer and all that stuff. No blood clots. She explained to me that all this stuff could be caused the bumps I got on my arms and stuff. And the knot. Diagnosis that I was diagnosed for, the disease that I was got for. I mean, it's not contagious. I know it's not no the taste of the disease. It's just the disease that I had. This my daughter Candace died from. You know, they just want to make sure it's none of that stuff. You know, I feel great. I don't feel no shortening of breath. I don't feel none of the signs of colon cancer. Stomach cancer, nothing like that. None of the signs. No, when my bowels move, there's nothing in the stool, nothing like that. You know, I just feel great, you know. Eating normal. I go to the bathroom twice a day. You know, do my business and all. No problems, you know. But just ask my audience to pray, okay? Because I've got to take this. Then I got to drink that whole gallon of nasty stuff that going to give me a lot. Staying in the bathroom. Everybody who had to go through that know what I'm talking about. You know? And then they go, then you go in the hospital. You go in the hospital and you get checked for colon cancer and all. But wow. And everything is fine. Don't worry, guys. Everything is fine. I feel great. I feel great. I'm ready to go on my vacation. April, May, and June. And when I got there, I got some assistance, too. You know, my doctor, she's a great doctor. She really is. And she got me SNAP. I didn't know what SNAP is. I never used these programs and all. But SNAP is going to help me out. Get a place. Get food. Help me with my gas, electric. Help me with rent and stuff like that. And I met these two wonderful people who are going to sit down and help me. All I have to do is take pictures of my gas, electric, Social Security card, and so on, and rent thing. And I'm really, really cool with that, you know. But if they're going to help, more help, the better. The better I can get out of this place and get a better studio that I got. I mean, I can't wait to show y'all my hookup, you know, my big screen TV, you know. And, but like I said, go back to the thing that y'all heard earlier. That was back in 1980 when the Tylenol killing in Chicago, okay. It's not real. It was way back in the history. 1981, something like that. I'm sure some of y'all remember that. When they was putting cyanide in Tylenol. Extra strength Tylenol. But is this a recording? And it was just a report of Chicago history. You know, y'all remember the man who climbed the Sears Tower? Spider-Man? Back in the 80s? Yeah. That's what I was watching, you know. And it was just talking about Chicago history. The L train, the cyanide Tylenol thing, and Spider-Man. But y'all just got a glimpse of the Tylenol thing. And I just recorded from that, from the NBC Chicago history thing. But it's just a little program they got on Roku TV that they playing right now. They repeating the police report thing that they sit down with retired cops and they were talking about Chicago crime and everything and stuff like that. I watched that earlier. Now it's on again. I'm gonna give y'all a little peek of it, but I didn't want y'all to be frightened, you know. But the Chicago the Tylenol thing happened way back in the 80s, okay. And I don't think we have to worry about that today. Because we got too much technology to... Yeah. There's too much technology for that to happen again. And they can even scan the pills. Make sure it's nothing in them and all. Make sure they the real pills. But I think these two couples were going around changing the Tylenol thing. And putting... buying castles and then putting them back in the store. I think that's how they did it. They was buy the Tylenol, then they put them back in the store. And the Tylenol had cyanide in it, and it killed a lot of people. That's told you people, we got some crazy people in this world. Even back in the 70s and 80s. It was unbelievable. You know, unbelievable. Just, why would you want to do that to people? Just tell me, why? It's just crazy. So go in Chicago history and look up the L train, look up the Chicago Tylenol thing, history, it calls Chicago history, photos and stuff like that. It's pretty cool, you know. They got pictures of the Chicago L train that fell and all back in 1976. And I'm going to learn more about this. And I'm going to try to get some stuff up for y'all to listen to on YouTube and all. But it's really cool. You know, it's, I think to learn about this stuff, to learn about history, is to make sure it don't repeat again. Now, everybody said, the funny thing about history, it had a habit to repeat itself over and again. And that's why I gotta check my health, because my daughter, she had the same thing that I had, you know, to make sure I'm okay, you know, and the longer I have faith in God and everything, God's going to carry me through all the way up into my 90s and all. And that's what I got faith. He going to let me go. He going to just let me live. Because I felt I didn't have a life when I was married. You know, that's my opinion. But that's what y'all was listening to. Okay? I'm having trouble with this audio. Having a little trouble with the audio and everything. But, you know, I'm going to try to fix this. So, y'all just listen to some good music and everything. And I'll be right back. Thank you for listening to the Cool with Locke podcast show.
Oh, you don't need to let your body go. Hungry heart, it's not easy to start over. I've been there a couple of times, starting over. No, the wind the night comes over you, rest is in you. You will shed that skin. Oh, it feels like a long run up here. The smallest breath, the shortest step.
1, 2, 3.
It's enough.
1, 2, 3.
Take it easy and let your feelings out. Don't push them aside. Don't hide. Know that when the night comes over you, rushes into you, you will shed that skin.
Yeah, that's just the way things are, you know, in this unbelievable world I said, I'm a history buff, and I just love history. And now, stuff like that, I like to learn. I just like to learn stuff like that, and it just make me feel good. It's very smart to learn stuff like that, and you got to learn things that happened before your time or when you was little and all, and you wonder what your parents was talking about at the dinner table and stuff like that. No, now you know. But in my day, you had your table, and the parents had that table. Children had that table, and the parents had that table. They discussed the grown-up stuff. And you walk over there, they were like, go back there. We was talking grown-up stuff, you know? And sometimes you open your mouth, and you, hey, this is grown-up stuff. Go back to the table, you know? Everybody remember those days, right? Yeah, I do. Yeah. And now you know what they was talking about at the dinner table. I mean, I just remember sometimes going over my aunt's house, Uncle Harry, Aunt Alice's house, and they had the dining room and living room, and we sit in the kitchen, the kids and all, the adults in the living room and all. It was just set up a normal American family home, and I will never forget that home, because to me that's like a home, like the house that I grew up in. And it was on Bel Air Avenue, and that's just one of the house I grew up in. I remember the fire up in the attic that started, that me and my cousin, that we was up in the attic, and it was a fire that started. We had a hot plate, and a fire started out there, up in the attic. And, you know, just remember those days. But remember the things that was going on out in the world when you was growing up. Now you learn about it. Just like the Chicago mayor. What his name? Harry Washington? He only had 4 terms. He died in office. People really loved that man. And then all the chaos that happened after his death. And a lot of prejudices in Chicago. And now and a lot of people turned out to honor Harry Washington. I'm sure some of y'all remember that in the news and all. You know. And this is the stuff that I'm learning about, you know. I'm learning, you know. So here's some more music. I'm going to do some more research on this. This is very fascinating. Yeah, I'm looking at some stuff on YouTube about Chicago gangs and Chicago history. I gotta get to go to the Chicago history photo, Chicago photo history museum, and I'm gonna look at that. So y'all continue to listen to some great music, and I'll let you know what I found.
I know you ain't doing this to yourself. Stop what you're doing and let him go. Pack up all your things when you're finally done. Call me up, sweet mama, we'll run. 'Cause oh, what a way to live. Living in pain and fear as a wife. I said next time he hurts you, I'll know when. That time will be the last he ever hurts you. Well, all your extra makeup on. We all feel it too, we know you're hurt. And I know some time will pass before you know what's real. And I can't change the way you feel. But oh, what a way to live a life. Living in pain and fear as a wife. Myself next time he hurts you, I'll know when. That time will be the last he ever hurts you again. Longer will you stay? Don't drown in what's around you, let him go. Won't you find your new surrounding with the man who loves you so?
Yeah, sometimes computer just don't want to listen to you. It heard me, but it just don't want to pick up when I say it. I'm trying to Chicago Photo History Gallery to see what happened when the L train and everything. Some of the photos and stuff like that. But technology get on my nerves. Really get on my nerves. It drive you insane. You know, sometimes you just want to take the computer, just beat his head in, you know. But I'm sure everybody experienced that. Oh my goodness. I know that thing hurt what I just said. Here's some more great music, everybody. And as I get ready to go on my hit, what you call, I'm going to just continue giving you some good music and some good finished off content. But thank you for all the people who do to support the podcast. The podcast people, providers, the people who provide software and everything at Speak and iHeartRadio and all. Like, love y'all guys. Thank you. All my promoters on Fiverr. I love y'all guys. The New York Podcast Network. I just love y'all guys. Thank you for putting me up on there and everything. I'm going to subscribe to your plan, your payment plan. So y'all got a little payment plan that I'm going to start paying for, so I can get some more people from New York to listen to the podcast. I've seen it on the website, but I'll explain that to you. But thank you, New York Podcast Network, and everybody who listen to the podcast, go to New York City Podcast Network and vote for my podcast, okay? That's New York City Podcast Network. New York City Podcast Network. Once again, New York City Podcast Network. I'm under the entertainment department, okay? Just look at me up. Once you find it, just go to that website, entertainment department. Type my name in, Corey Whitlock Podcast Show, and it should show up. Or you can see that little icon with me with the glasses and the spaceship right behind me, okay? It's right in the entertainment area. Okay, not in sports, not in news, in entertainment. Okay, this is what this podcast is, entertainment. So just look for me there. Once again, it's the New York Podcast Network. Okay, also I'm on a new website too that they made for me. I keep forgetting the name, but search it on Google and I'm sure you're going to find the Corey Whitlock Podcast Show. And it should be in the search engine and then everything. But, and to all my fans, and I just hope California comes back, and all the people in Tennessee, New Jersey, New York, Texas, Arizona, all of y'all, Washington State, Seattle, all of y'all guys who listen to the podcast, download the show and everything. Love you, love you, love you, love you, love you. Thank you so much. I can't do this show without you. I got over 7,000 and some downloads. When I first started, I was only getting like 10 downloads and wasn't going nowhere. Thanks for the people who promote my podcast on Fiverr. I've been getting downloads like crazy now, and I'm up on Apple, all platforms, and everything. So mostly thanks for the promoters who helped me. And just go to Amazon, type my name up, Corey Whitlock, and buy my books, okay? Burning Love, Ocean and Sky. It's only $2.99. And Mr. Boogie Shoes, science fiction book. It's only $3.99, okay? And the next book come out is March 30th, 2024, and it's called Data Blood, okay? That will come out March 30th, 2024. And it's going to be a four-length novel, and we're going to try to get it in bookstores too, okay? And I'm going to try to get it on audiobook as well. Go to your Roku TV or Samsung TV. It's going to be a trailer and everything for the books. From this book, Data Blood, and on, we're going to have a book trailer. And it's going to be on Roku TV and all that. And you're going to see the trailer and all. Trailer is just like a movie and everything. But you can wait to see Data Blood, and you can pre-order that, or you can go to Amazon now. Follow me on Amazon. Put follow, put like, make a comment on the books and everything. And thank you again, everyone. Thank you. And for all the people who provide the free music that I use, thank you. Including the artists who put that music on the free royalty music. Thank you, guys. This wouldn't be possible without y'all as well. And all. And this podcast is still a little child. It's learning. It's only 4 years old, going on five. And it's still a little child. And all of y'all, us together, we can make this podcast one of the greatest ones up there with the greats podcasts. And that's my goal, get up there with the great podcasters. And you can go vote for me to do that on New York City Podcast Network. You can do that by voting for my podcast on the episodes that you like. Okay? Easy to do. Just type in New York City Podcast Network.com. Okay? But here's some more great music. And I'm going to continue trying to find this history of Chicago. You know. But once again, thank you, everyone. Everyone. You're part of my family now. And my new production. Queer Without Production. This was my dream, to have a production company. Now I do. And I can say it started right here with y'all guys. And my listeners, don't worry. We're going back to the greats, UFOs, Strange Witchcoms, and season 5, we're going to get into the paranormal and stuff like that, and talk about the history of Jesus. And one more thing, all the people that I mentioned, I just got to thank the Father, for giving me this knowledge, and all the people who listen. He the most person I have to thank making this possible, and I hope he keep me around for a long time so I continue doing this. And I'll show you my pens when I go visit the 50 states. I'm going to share that with you when I go to all 50 states. And I'll, when I get my driver's license, I'm going to share that with you, and much more. Okay, love you guys, everyone. Once again, God bless you and thank you. Here's some more great music. We'll be right back. Yeah, I'm still searching. Wow. Chicago got a lot of history. And I've seen a lot of things. A lot of, and this, I don't know. Here's one of my favorite songs, country songs. And I'm always going to play this one. And I just love this. So, the guy who sing this, if you're listening, this is one of my favorite country songs. And I'm African American, and I love this song. I just love to play it on my podcast, radio. Here it goes.
I live down the road from Buddy's barroom. I got a running tab, it's done run away. Sometimes I think I'm whistling past the graveyard. Last night I got so drunk, I didn't even know my name. But the beer is cold and the music's always playing. And the jukebox is the best there is in town. Set you free at a happy hour. Country songs and whiskey sours can cheer up any man who's feeling down. We say Jesus ain't an easy man to talk to. Haven't ever sounded all that night. But you feel a little better singing, drinking songs together. A little 16 bars of paradise. Well, a bunch of boys come in right after midnight. Up late shift, so I hear. Mickey looks so tired it might fall over, but he heads straight for the jukebox and he orders him a beer. Where his home's a wreck, been bouncing checks, got bills that's piling high. He asked the good Lord for some help, he got no reply. And he said Jesus ain't an easy man to talk to. Heaven never sounded all that nice, but I feel a little better singing, drinking songs together. A little 16 bars of paradise. Now you make some big mistakes over a lifetime. Heaven knows there ain't no perfect man. Sometimes it's just too late for forgiveness, but everybody here knows that you're doing the best you can. Well, life is tough, you done had enough, you ain't got no cash to spend. Come on down to Buddy's Bar, it's on the house, my friend. We say Jesus ain't an easy man to talk to.
Okay, people, I'm back. just had to go in the kitchen for a minute and get some snacks or something. Kind of cold in here too, but hope you enjoy that. Like I really enjoyed that song. So all the crime that happens in this city of Baltimore and Chicago got some really crazy stuff, and it's no better than Baltimore, you know. And we got crime here too, and got city officials that's doing the same thing they do in Chicago, not doing their job and stuff like that. And that's my opinion, you know. And like I said, shot fire should be here in Baltimore as well, you know. But let's listen to some of this stuff that they talking about. Some of the old.
That's a viable question and maybe a good discussion to have. But to say it's not working, I mean, if you catch just a handful of people,
they talking about shot fire now.
They're the ones that are pulling the triggers. And when you fire a gun in the city, nothing good is going to happen from that. So if you've got a system that can help take shooters off the street, why would you want to get rid of it for other reasons, other than perhaps financial?
That leads us to our next candidate. Let's talk about Paul Vallis's plan for public safety. Here's what he had to say in our forum.
We need to return to community-based policing where we have beat integrity. We also need to return to community-based policing where the CTA platforms and the CTA stations and the trains have the presence of police officer.
Yeah. I mean, you know, to the point we made earlier, you know, when cops get out there on the beats, they get to know the communities that they're, you know, patrolling. And that can never be a bad thing. That's always a good thing. And getting the officers ranked back at the numbers, it's important, because in a city like this, as big as it is, and the issues that we have, you know, don't get me wrong, you don't want to get crazy, but I think 13,000 somewhere in there is a pretty sweet spot for a city this size and the crime issues that we have. Because trust me, I wish we didn't need the police in this city. I really do. But the simple reality of it is, we do.
Your message to the new mayor: what does CPD need from the fifth floor of City Hall? What can they do differently?
Put the right people on in the right seats and let them drive the bus. And I got to tell you, Stefan, I think it's going to be really difficult to recruit quality candidates, because the job is just getting harder and harder and harder. And, you know, I don't know what the talent level is out there today and who's going to want to come here under these conditions and try and turn this place in the right direction.
Well, I can think of several big departures from the CPD in the last year or so. Brendan Dinahan, who was the chief of detectives.
One of the hardest working, most talented guys. It says something when they leave. I'm sorry to interrupt. I keep doing it.
Sure.
when somebody like Brendan leaves the department 2 weeks before a mayoral election, when that's a guy who should be looking at getting a top job.
You know, let me tell you, Stefan. So, because I came up through CPD, I have a unique view. My time coming up through the ranks, you never saw people that made it to the rank of chief in their early 50s leave the department. You had to drag them out, man, until retirement age. So the fact that you saw all these people leaving 55 or under, it says something. Something wasn't quite right there. Those should be the people coming up now that should be taking the reins of the department over. So now you're left with a really thin bench.
Yeah, the bench was wiped out.
So let me ask you this, and Jody Riesel asked me this as well. Show of hands, if you were picked by the commission or by the next mayor to do the job again, would you do it?
And that's what I was watching earlier, guys, on Chicago News, NBC, on the Roku channel. They was just talking about the top cops, what they had to go through, trying to keep the crime down, you know. And shot fire, I just came right in the middle of shot fire. I'm sorry, I should have caught that for you. Maybe when they wrote it again, I'll catch it for you. But shop fire should be in all cities. I mean, I think it's a program where they put a sound where, and they can turn where the shop fire came from. You know, north, east, south, west of the city, and they sit in the in a computer, and they can turn where the shop fire came from, what neighborhood and district the shot fire came from, and they can get the police there right there to investigate that shot fire. If it was a gunshot, and they get there right then and there, and they can determine anybody got shot or something. And I think they need it here in Baltimore, you know? And I just want to know how many of y'all feel like I do. I mean, go to my Speak website and just follow me on Speak. Put the likes on, like up, and just leave your comments, or go to Corey Whitlock Podcast Show on YouTube and leave your comments. And soon in season 5, you're going to be able to give a number and leave your comments. And before the show starts, I will be able to let your comments roll. Here's the final thing that you heard.
Commission or by the next mayor to do the job
again. The question before they went
would
to the work.
Yes.
You would do it?
Absolutely. It's too important. And you probably sense my frustration watching what's happening. I can't help it. I'm frustrated by nature.
Jody Weiss, would you do the job again?
No, I think my time has probably come and gone. I'm 65 now. I'm enjoying life in the desert. Could I help in some way in a consulting role or give some guidance? 100%. That's what I do right now. But, I think I have the energy for it. It's just like right now there's other things in my life that I'd like to explore doing. So I'd probably take a hard pass on that.
Eddie Jansen.
Because I see the situation, and I love this city, and I love the department, I'm conflicted about it, but the short answer is yes, I would do it, but I don't know if I could commit to 4 years of it, but I would certainly entertain doing it for a period of time to try to get things back on the right track. Yes, so yes.
See, I just gave you an emotional response, too. You know, my wife and children would probably dissuade me.
Yeah, you might want to run that by that trial.
You double check that first.
Yeah.
But I think in all fairness, for the person who is going to take this job, what advice would you give to them about their expectations, their performance? What do they need to know before they step into that job?
I would say in terms of expectations, take it slow. You know, a gradual decrease is better than no decrease, and certainly better than an increase. Mm-hmm. I would also tell them, get out into the community, build those relationships, and also, as important, your rank and file need to know who you are. They need to know who you are.
So actually get out there.
Get out there, talk to them, yep. Show them that you support them.
The best conversations I had with the police officers were at 4 o'clock in the morning on street corners in Englewood and West Lawndale. I think leadership is critically important.
Mm-hmm.
This department needs leadership right now. The city needs leadership. And be prepared to get spun and all.
Okay, guys, we got to go. I'm over the hour. Thank you for listening to the Corey Whitlock Podcast Show. I didn't realize how late it was. Good night. Live long and prosper, and may the force of Jesus be with you.
happening.
Owning, mailing, and papering.